You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order to bring us the gospel so that we may go forth with Him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's an interesting place for us to come into this gospel reading, and it's kind of a little bit of a mundane place for us to come into the gospel reading. If we're just kind of thinking through what's happening here, Jesus has just been out on the sea with people, and he's come back, and now he's back in his home, sort of hometown of Capernaum. Now, this isn't where he grew up, but this is where his kind of headquarters was. This is where he was kind of setting up shop. And as Jesus comes to Capernaum, we're assuming, goes to the house of Simon Peter. And at Simon Peter's house, he sees there that Simon Peter's mother-in-law has a fever. And as he comes into the house, they tell him about her, and he says, well, that's fine, I can do that. He comes in, and he heals her of her fever. Now, we're used to Jesus healing, like, bigger things. Now, certainly, there is a level to which a fever is a big deal, especially in Jesus' day. But there is a element here, pardon me, where Jesus Jesus healing a fever doesn't seem like it's the same as healing somebody who's been blind. It doesn't seem the same as somebody who's been raised from the dead. It doesn't seem like it's one of those kind of big picture miracles. And here he is. He heals this mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law, it says, immediately sort of gets up and starts to serve them. Now, the other interesting thing about this reading is that it happens on the Sabbath day. And so what's going on here is that everything is kind of sleepy. Everything has been kind of like, okay, well, not much is happening because it's the Sabbath. Jesus has come back, and it's kind of a down day. It's sort of like when you get up early in the morning on a Sunday, and you recognize that it's a Sunday somehow because there's not a whole lot of traffic out there, and there's other stuff that you know, we don't see as many things out on the road. And that's what's going on here. And so Jesus is able to come into Capernaum. He's able to come and he heals this lady. And then it seems like for the rest of the day, they're just kind of hanging out. They're just kind of lounging around. They're taking sort of a lazy Sabbath day. And, you know, Peter's mother-in-law is there. She's just gotten healed. So, you know, she's probably cooking up some stuff for him. You know, everything is pretty good. They're turning on the TV. They're watching some football. And they're just kind of relaxing a bit. And the thing that happens, though, is that the sun starts to go down. Now, if you know anything about how the Sabbath works, the Sabbath goes from sundown to sundown. So they don't have the same concept of days that we do. And so instead of the beginning of the day being in the morning, we have the beginning of the day being kind of in the evening. And all of a sudden, what happens is that sun starts to go down, which means that it's the next day, which means that it's no longer the Sabbath day. And because it's no longer the Sabbath day, all of the sick people from all of the area start to come out. And you can kind of get this sense of what's happening here at Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house as they're sitting in there, you know, they're hanging out, they're chilling, and they start to hear stuff outside. And they start to go, oh, isn't that interesting? It seems like there's a little bit of stirring going on. There's a little bit of something happening. And you kind of get this sense that when they open the door or they open the window, they're kind of shocked to see, whoa, there are a bunch of people out here. Because news about Jesus has gone throughout the land. And all of these people that didn't want to travel before because it was the Sabbath day, and that's a no-no. Now that it's not the Sabbath day, they're starting to show up, and they're showing up in droves. And Jesus is spending all of this time on this night after the Sabbath, healing them and casting out demons. And even telling the demons not to tell anybody who he is. You've got that kind of interesting moment here where Jesus is doing this great work. And you would imagine that after doing all of this stuff, that Jesus is kind of, well, beat. That he's kind of tired. And yet, when the scene opens up again, we see that Jesus has gotten up early in the morning and he's gone off by himself, says, to a desolate place in order to pray. And so he's out in this desolate place. He's out away from the town. He's out away from where everybody can find him. And he's praying there, asking God for what's next, probably. And so he's out there praying, and you can imagine what it's like for Peter and for Andrew and for James and for John as they're kind of waking up themselves, and they're waking up and they're looking out the door and they're seeing even more people outside of the door. And the one person that they don't see is Jesus. And so they start to kind of wonder, and they start to go, hey, folks, good seeing you. Jesus is just doing something. We're going to go and find him. And so they go out, and they put together the search party, and they go out, and they try to find Jesus. And they try to figure out, okay, where is Jesus? Jesus should know. He should know that there's more people that are going to be showing up. And yet, Jesus is no place to be found. Well, I think that's maybe a point of entry for us sometimes in our faith, where we're kind of looking around for where Jesus is. We're kind of going, hey, Jesus, can't you tell that there's stuff to do around here? Can't you tell that there's people to heal? Can't you tell that there's stuff to get done? And yet we as Christians, we as his followers, well, we're kind of looking around and we're like, hey, Jesus, it would be really good if you would show up right now because we can't do this stuff ourselves and we kind of need you. And there's some times that as Christians, we kind of feel that way. Because we have this sense that, well, Jesus should be right here. Jesus should be right here in my little sphere, and that's all the places that Jesus should be. Jesus should just be here for me and for the people that I know and for the things that I care about. And so then we go out and we start to do what the disciples did. We start to go out and we start to search. And as we start to search for Jesus, we don't search for Jesus in the same way that Peter and Andrew and James and John do. Instead, we go out and we start to search the scriptures and we start to look in the Bible and we start to go, okay, well, Jesus, where are you? And as Simon Peter comes up to Jesus, he says to him, Lord, where are you? Everyone is looking for you. And Jesus' response is, not exactly what we are wanting Jesus to say. Because Jesus' response is not like, there's people back at your mother-in-law's house, Simon? Oh, well, let's go back there. Let's go take care of those folks. Instead, Jesus' response is, well, let's go to the next town. And let's go to the town after that so that I can preach there, for that is why I have come. And sometimes that's kind of what we need to hear too. We need to hear that Jesus is going ahead of us. And then he's asking us to come along. Have you ever had that moment where somebody has said to you, hey, are you coming? That moment where, you know, they're doing something and they just assume that you knew that you were supposed to come along with them, and maybe you never felt like you really got the invite, or maybe you never really felt like that was something that you wanted to do. And then they reach out to you, they call you, they text you, and they say, hey, are you coming along? Because that seems to be what Jesus is doing here. That Jesus here is, he's pointing us outside of our normal circles. He's pointing us outside of where we normally are. He's pointing us outside of what we normally care about who we normally care about. And he says, hey, aren't you coming along? And that fits with what Paul is then talking about in 1 Corinthians as he talks about what his life is like as being Paul, as he's writing to these Corinthians, and he's talking about, hey, I'm going to go to all sorts of people. I'm going to go to Jews, and I'm going to go to Gentiles, and I'm going to go to people that are weak and people that are strong. I'm going to go to all of them because that's what Jesus is about. Because what Jesus is about going to the next towns. It's about going to the next people. It's about going to those people who need to hear about the good news that we get to have for ourselves. This good news that is laid out in that Isaiah reading, that Old Testament reading, that the God of the entire universe, the God who looks down at our measly little planet, at our measly little circles, at the little things that we care about, he looks down at us with a magnifying glass and says, well, I think I can kind of see them. That God is the one who comes to us with grace. To bring us healing in the mundaneness of our world, just as if we were Simon Peter's mother-in-law, saying, you've got a fever, I've got a solution, let's get that fixed, but let's not just stay there. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going to the next town, and the town after that, and the person after that, so that they can hear what I have to bring to them. Because what God has to bring to them is the same thing that he has brought to you. The good word of eternal life. The good word that your sins are forgiven. The good word that the guilt that you're carrying around with you, that's hanging inside of you, that's making you feel sick and awful, like a fever would make you feel sick and awful, that can be healed. And he doesn't want that to just stay with you. But rather, he wants that to go to everyone else. So that even a person like you has the opportunity to say, that God of the universe visited me, healed me, and brought me the good news that I needed. So as you go out on this rainy day, I hope you don't catch a fever. But as you go out, remember that you are like Simon Peter's mother-in-law in that you do have a sickness that needs to be healed. And that he will heal that. But you're also like one of his disciples who he's calling to you saying, are you going to come along? Amen. Amen. Please.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.